we do.
Oh, that heavenly mansion, it shall be mine. I feel like traveling on.
Oh, yes, I feel like traveling. Look at somebody and say, let's just travel on. Let's just travel on. Let's just keep on keeping on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Isn't it good to be the house of the Lord? Amen. This temple, we house deity. We really do. We house deity. Aren't you glad about it this morning? He's put something in you that the world will one day would love to have. They don't want it right now. They think they don't, but one day they'll desire to have what you have. What a God we serve this morning. Isn't he good? Give him a hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart this morning. Verse number four, slow. I want Brother Harry to lead us to this verse number four because it attains to every one of us this morning. This verse, I want you to make it very personal to your own self. Let's sing it together.
The Lord has been so good.
Is that right?
To
is that the truth?
Me.
Is that the truth?
I said the Lord
glory.
Has been so good to
yes, he has.
Me.
Sing that line again.
I said my
the
Lord
he
has
he's
been. Traveling on.
Thank you, Father.
Until that blessed home I see.
Oh,
I feel.
We're just gonna keep
like
on
traveling.
We're just gonna keep on keeping on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling. You know what? We're children that's running the last laps. In a track meet, I don't know what they call that. Is it an 880 or whatever that is, that thing they run around the track, and there's four of them. And the last one that gets that little thing that they hand him, it's up to him. It's up to him to cross that finish line. The handoff's got to be good. Him receiving it, he's got to do his job. The man that's giving it to him's got to do his job. Well, now you hush. I'm just an encourager. But I'm going to tell you something. You and I have been handed the baton. We're going to run this last mile home. We're going to run it with dignity. We're going to be qualified human beings in this life. We're going to make it to the finish line, and we're not going to stumble across, but we're going to go across it as conquerors. Are you glad you're a conqueror this morning? Give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling. Oh, I feel like traveling. Praise the Lord. We only have one prayer request and one card this morning. So if you'll just remain standing with me, Brother Rob, if you get ready this morning to take us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Moyer sends this in to please remember my wife in prayer. Just ask that the Lord be mindful to their situation, just a lot of situations in their home that they really desire the Lord's guidance and leadership. And we just commit that family unto the Lord. This is from a dear, dear, dear sister in the Lord. She wants to thank her church family for all the calls, visits, flowers, the fruit basket, and the food, especially the prayers. We appreciate you all. So glad to be back in church. And that's one of the, comes from one of the pillars of Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, Sister Boone. She's back in service today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We certainly appreciate Sister Boone and what she just means to this assembly. She may not realize it, but she is a pillow in this church right here, and I want her to know that. Brother Rob, come this morning. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about. Let's pray for all the sickness that's in our assembly, in our community, that the Lord would be mindful. We love you, buddy. We appreciate you, Brother Rob. He's a good one, isn't he? God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for the grace, Lord, that you bestowed upon us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the prayer request that was made from the Moyer family. I pray that you reach and touch them. I thank you for Sister Boone and her testimony in this church as well. Thank you for your grace to us, Lord. Help us. Thank you for teaching us last night how it is that you see us in your hands and how you see us in your arms and how you look at us. Thank you for the further revelation in our hearts as so many things unfold before us, Lord God, that we can recognize your character and thankful for the things that we learn here in this place. Thank you for recognizing that and teaching us to recognize that your spirit lives within us and not this building. Lord God, and to have it balanced, Lord, help me to be balanced in what it is that I hear, not to be one side or the other, but to understand in a balanced approach, Lord, as a father, as a husband, as a Christian, as a brother. Lord God, I pray, help us to learn more about you and your character this day, what you have in store for us, how we long to hear more of your nature and character and aspire to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come this morning, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor in this assembly this morning, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service today, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. Now, up north and everything, they call it keep on the firing line. But down here, we call it keep on the firing line. So, whatever you call it, we're going to keep on it. Is that right? Quit, you don't even know how to say that word. Giving up, that's foreign. You don't even know how to talk about that. But we're going to keep on the firing line, right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you and my brother, all evil, never run or even.
right behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line.
God can only use a soldier he can trust,
so keep on the firing line.
Well, if you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must.
Oh, just keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the master.
Oh, yes, it is.
Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great to be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line.
Thank you, Lord. Let's sing it, church.
Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the fiery line.
Play it for me.
Of sin.
With a shout of welcome, we will all march in.
Oh,
so
yes.
Keep on,
we'll just keep on
in line.
Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the fiery line.
Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. We have a couple of songs. Sister Phillips, if you'd come onto the platform, get ready to sing. Brother Aaron, if you'd come onto the platform. Abraham, you'll have that arranged this morning to give us a song. Let's give our singers a nice hand as they sing for you today.
Oh, feet. But then I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes. Oh, day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up that door. Let your word speak to me. Shine through me in the night.
Amen. Y'all pray for me this morning. I'm a nervous wreck. Amen. Brother Louie come drag me out of service and said I needed to practice a song to sing this morning. So I've sang this song probably about 100 times this week in the truck. So I hope it's a blessing to you. How many's been blessed this morning? Amen.
Oh, when he walks among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, if the pen of the writer could write every day, even his words could never contain just how much I have been blessed. The warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, and the changing of leaves, for food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way could I count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so been blessed. Oh, for arms that will raise and a voice that can talk, hands that can touch and legs that can walk, ears that have heard and eyes that have seen. Oh, I've got to praise him. As long as I breathe, I have been blessed. Oh, I have been are His thoughts of you and me. No way could I count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good. He's so good. I have been blessed. Sing it with me one more time. Are His thoughts of you and me. No way could I count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good. He's so good. I have been blessed. God has been good. He's so good. I have been blessed.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I can join along with that song, can't you? I have been so blessed. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Let's look at a few more of the reasons why we should be able, in all honesty, to say that we have been so blessed. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord, which is agreement, what concord hath Christ with Belial, which is wickedness, or the lowest state of wickedness, which is another name for Satan? What concord or agreement hath Christ with Satan? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Now, this word infidel might surprise you, the meaning of it. It means a person that doesn't believe. It's not a person who doesn't believe in God. It's a person who believes not, or faithless. This is the Greek word for infidel. So you got one who believes and one who doesn't believe. Well, what fellowship are you supposed to have with them then? Notice in verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. So what agreement then does the temple of God have with idols? Now watch how Paul brings it right on down into our houses, our temples. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and not walk in them as he did before, walk with them, but I will dwell in them, and walk not with, but in. Will walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And because of that declaration, then the next verse declares, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Why? Because you are the temple of God. This is why we dress different, act different, talk different, behave different, because we are professing to be the house of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. We ask your blessings upon it, Father. May you anoint the speaker, the hearers. Lord, may you take preeminence in this service, Lord Jesus. Help us by your grace today, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Keep in mind now the neutrality of the body as it parallels the neutrality of the temple of the Old Testament, or the tabernacle of witness, the tabernacle of testimony. It also parallels your body as a house of God as well. But neither of those had power within themselves to keep evil away. Neither the temple of God, nor the tabernacle in the wilderness, nor does your tabernacle within its own power have the authority and the power to keep evil away. But the key is that there is one living in you if you are converted. Now watch this in Mark chapter 11, verse 15. When they came to Jerusalem and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now what's the setting? The temple itself is neutral. So beyond the outer court, which is where they were in the outer court, beyond the outer court is the holy sanctum, the sanctuary, the two realms of the sanctuary. And in there, of course, they were not selling doves, they were not changing money, but they were doing it in the outer court. But the temple did not have power within itself to drive them away. Neither does your flesh by itself. Now, your flesh being unregenerate, it's not enough, saints, for us to make up in our mind, I'm going to quit this and I'm going to quit that. You're going to be defeated before you ever get started. The thing is not setting your will against wrong, but surrendering your will to the Holy Ghost and letting the Holy Ghost within you subject wrong to that which is right. Well, I'm making up my mind after today, I'm giving up this and I'm quitting that. No, what you want to do is surrender your will to the will of God and ask God to help you. Now notice the Lord Jesus has now entered into the outer courtyard of the temple. And the temple is taking on a different look about it, a different demeanor, because the people on the outside and what they are doing. Now, this temple was a holy, consecrated place that belonged to Jehovah. But because the temple could not defend itself, the Lord Jesus did. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, notice, so when he comes to the temple, now this is what he sees. He began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So this is going on the outside. So you can relate it to church today. Of course, it wouldn't have been going on inside the sanctuary, but it would have been going on the outside. Coming up the steps there or in the parking lot, these people were coming to worship God. They were coming to pray. They were coming for forgiveness of sins. Many of them were businessmen. They were not farmers. They were not cattle raisers or sheep raisers. So the ministry had made it convenient for the people. So they would allow these people to set up their tables on the steps out here, as we'll say, and make it very easy for the people to be able to buy. Now, you had to bring a certain qualification of money into the temple, and that was a temple shekel. That money was only certified by use and for use of the temple itself. It was not common currency among the people. So if you would bring a Roman denarii, you could not bring that and offer it to God. So you must transfer that money or exchange that from a Roman denarii, or if you are a Greek or a Macedonian, and you would have your own currency. So they made it convenient for the people, and they set up money changers on the outside. And of course, these money changers were making a nice little living off of it on the side. But what was happening was the neutrality of the temple was now being reflected, and it was being affected by what these people were doing. They were thieves and robbers. So the tabernacle is now, the temple is now taking on part of the identity of a den of thieves. And it needed to be sanctified.
Now, you understand the neutrality of your body is exactly the same way. Now, within our flesh, that is, in us, dwelleth no good thing. It can cater to the world. It likes the world. It can lean toward anger, anguish, anxiety, all kinds of other things. And it does not have the power within itself to resist the wrong because of the neutrality that is left in you by the new birth as the temple. But the Lord Jesus still has whips. And he has men that know how to use them. Well, glory. How many's happy to be in church today? I'll ask you that in 30 minutes. Now, notice Mark chapter 11, verse 16. He would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Now, notice the temple did not have the ability to correct this error. But the Lord Jesus is now not only doing it for the temple itself, because in one sense of the word, the temple has now reached the state of the beginning of no value. No value. It will not be destroyed until 70 AD. But once the Lamb of God is going to be offered, as far as God is concerned, the temple will no longer be necessary. But to me, Jesus is not only just protecting Solomon's temple there, here as it was. He's not only protecting that, but he's issuing forth and showing us also in a type that after the new birth, that there will be necessary for the Lord Jesus to be able to assume the same position and authority inside of our temple and bring our temple subject to the life of him who lives on the inside. Notice again Mark chapter 11 verse 17. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now look at the neutrality again of the temple. It was to be made a house of prayer, not just by title though. It would actually be the worshipers themselves that would come in and they would pray. They would render to this house its very name, the house of prayer. So it was the people themselves that was actually forming and shaping the house of God, not just by name or by title, but by action. You follow me? Now, as long as they come in there and prayed and they worship God and they sacrifice, then because the people were reciprocating with what the word said, it would have maintained its identity as the house of prayer. We don't want to just be Christians by title. We don't want to just be Christians by name. We want to be Christians by the life of God living in us, not only in our souls, but making our bodies obey his word. But now notice what had happened, and I'm sure that it didn't happen overnight. It gradually began to change. It began to move, and things began to happen, and they brought this table in, this money changer in. Maybe this one was the priest's grandson, and this one was his nephew, and this one was this and that and the other. And before long, you've got all these things sitting in the house of God. And with these people coming in, is coming in their attributes. Now, they cannot come in the house of God and be allowed to do what they are doing without it affecting the very house of God itself. Now, their very behavior is now redefining the temple because, as I said, the temple is neutral. I know I keep saying this, but I want you to get it and keep it in mind for yourself that you can be affected by everything that is around you. Does that mean it controls you? Of course not. Were these den of thieves, were they controlling the entire tabernacle? They were not. Were they turning the whole thing into a den of thieves? They were not. They didn't need to turn the whole thing into it. All they needed to do was turn the outer court into a den of thieves. And then the very house of God is now being renamed because of the constituents who are there. Listen, friends, it's the same with us as children of God. Can I make any of you obey the word? I can't. I'm going to preach it to you, and then it'll be your choice whether or not you live it and obey it. But yet, you know, because of the very neutrality of the temple, Jesus steps in with the power to change and overrun or override the neutrality which lays in the temple itself. So here he is, and he redefines or brings it back to the original purpose by which God had moved in there in the first place. And that is, my house is to be called a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. Now, can you imagine the house of God being called a den of thieves? But yet, was it full of thieves? It was not. And the thieves were probably in the minority, but apparently their influence, though their number was small, their influence was so powerful that the house of God began to take on this name. It's the same way with you and I when it comes to besetting sins and shortcomings in our life. Oh, I only do this one thing. I only do two things. Yeah, they can be the minority as far as number, but by the power of influence, they begin to redefine your temple. They begin to redefine your body. They begin to redefine and take away your victory. Oh my, notice it. And he taught, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So the temple then was taking on this identity because of the people that were there. Notice in St. John 2, actually Jesus did this a couple of times on his visit to the earth. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves. Now, can you imagine? They have got oxen, sheep, and doves right at the entrance of the house of God. How far can people fall? Well, it just so happens the man of the tabernacle showed up. Now notice, so they've got oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, which was a Roman whip by design. It was a short whip with cords. Your Lord Jesus, you imagine him standing over in the corner and weaving together a whip. And Peter, James, and John standing there looking at him and saying, Lord have mercy, what's he going to do now? Dear God, is he going to use that on us? What in the world is he doing? Now, children, let me tell you something. Our God is serious about church. Oh, my. Amen. And he made. He didn't pick up a Roman one on the side of the road. He didn't pick up a Greek one on a shop, but he made it himself. Jesus still knows how to make good whips. I felt it a few times myself, ain't you? He made a scourge of small cords. He drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Now today, if it had been the smiley preacher from Texas, or if it had been some fundamental sort of guy, he would have sat down on national television and said, now brothers, please, would you all, y'all ain't doing this right now. I don't want to raise my voice. You yellow-bellied coward. You ain't even got a right to claim to be called a preacher. So here comes Jesus with this cord in his hand, and he actually goes to driving them out. Now let me tell you what kind of look that Jesus had on his face. One of anger. He was upset. Imagine he gets upset at us sometimes when we allow a bunch of carnality to come into our tabernacle. Praise the Lord. Now, notice what the scripture says and how that he dealt with this. He made a scourge of small cords and he drove them out. He did not ask them to leave. He drove them out. He drove out them out of the temple, the sheep, the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Notice now this time he doesn't say a den of thieves, but he calls what they are doing a house of merchandise. Oh my goodness. Somebody say preach, Brother Donnie. All right, I'm going to. You asked me to. Notice again, Brother Bram says, then Jesus came and called. Now, the other day, when your priest had made that place up there where you could buy the sacrifice, what did this young fellow do? Talking about Jesus. Kindness. He put some ropes together and looked out upon the people with anger and kicked over the tables and beat them out of there. And you call that fruits of the Spirit? Looking upon them with anger? Everybody keep your cell phone handy. I'm afraid we're going to need a bunch of 911 calls. Some of you folks look like you're about to pass out. You see, the temple is neutral. The temple did not have the overcoming power to oust these people out of itself. Don't you understand the parallel then of your flesh? That your flesh can reason, well, I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't say that. I know I shouldn't get on Facebook and just rant and rave and do this and that and the other, but I can't help myself. I just can't. Well, you need Jesus there with a cord. Sometimes Jesus needs to wrap around that big long tongue of ours and tie it up in knots. Other times Jesus needs to whoop up on our eyes. Other times Jesus needs to whoop up on our fingers. In order to bring our temple subject to his presence. Why? Because the temple has this great object of neutrality by which it can be influenced by merchandise or dens of thieves or robbers or liars. Now, y'all may not like this, but I'll tell you what, this morning before daylight when the Lord woke me up and give this to me, I about had a spell in my bed. I just thought this was so wonderful. Amen. Notice again, Brother Bam says, question and answers. He went to the temple, oh my, plaited robes, looked upon them with anger, turned over their tables and run them out of the place. Is that right? The Bible said he looked on them with anger. The Bible said that. That's exactly right. Wow. Can't you see sometimes when a preacher will have to preach so hard because of things we're doing or things we're allowing in our lives, and we think, my goodness, I can't believe that. It's Jesus again. It's Jesus again. Now remember, he's not angry at your soul if your soul is sealed in the presence of God. It's only the temple. It's the merchandise. It's the den of thieves that you've allowed the worldly music or movies or whatever more that you're so consumed with that fill your mind and your day. And it's Jesus that has a man of God to stand up there. Oh, brother, I'm telling you one thing. We ain't got cords. We got bull whips. I'm knowing a man of God can stand right here from this pulpit and cut a fly off of your ear sitting back down in the last pew. Not only that, an anointed man of God can stand right here and reach palm down in Africa and whip up and down there and India and France, amen, and Germany. Why? God wants his people free. God wants his people to bring their temple subject to the Holy Ghost. That means ever been whooped on a few times. Well, we're mighty glad to have the rest of you angels here with us today. We hope you enjoy your stay with us. Now, I want you to notice here that there's a parallel of the New Testament in the condition that it had got into to, I think, where we are today as well. That you see a word occurring in the New Testament that you do not see in the Old. And that is the word synagogue. Now, there were no synagogues in the Old Testament. The synagogues actually came into view after the Babylonian captivity. Now, a synagogue was more of a multi-purpose type of building. And here, whenever we see the Lord Jesus in the New Testament and the apostles, synagogues is where they done a lot of their preaching. Watch in St. John 18:20, Jesus answered him before the high priest, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing." Now, I found this in history this morning. Let me share this with you. Synagogues have a large hall for prayer. The main sanctuary may also have smaller rooms for study and sometimes a social hall and offices. Some have a separate room for Torah study called the Beth Midrash or Shepard, Beth Midrash Ekenaz or House of Study. Now notice, but there is no altar, and there is no altar of incense, and there is no menorah. There is also no visible presence of the pillar of fire. So the synagogue was something that they knew. Of course, the temple had been destroyed in Jerusalem, but yet they wanted a place where they could still come together and talk about the Lord and fellowship and have a little bit of socializing going on at the same time. When the Lord showed me this morning, I realized the church is the synagogue, but the bride is the temple. Paul never likens you to being a synagogue, because a synagogue is a mixture of songs, praise, worship, socializing. Sounds like modern day church, doesn't it? Well, they got a little coffee down in the basement before church, and we have hot dogs after church, and we got Egg McMuffins, and we've got, you know, they got all your favorite coffees, your vanilla, this and that and the other, and you can bring it right in church and sit down and sip on your coffee and eat your honey bun. Not in this church. Oh no, this is not a synagogue. This is a house of God. And let me bring it on down to you and say, I don't want to be a synagogue. I want to be a temple. Oh, glory! There was no blood in the synagogue. There was no mercy seat in the synagogue. There was no sacrifice in the synagogue. But in the temple was mercy. In the temple was blood. In the temple was the pillar of fire. In you is all these things, if you're born again. In the times of Jesus, every small town had a synagogue. I've stood in many of them in my visits to Israel, remnants of them. But there was only one temple. And you might worship and you might sing and you might do this and that and the other in the synagogue, but you look around and say, where's the altar? Oh, we don't believe in altar calls no more. That's synagogue Christians. We don't believe in the blood no more. We don't believe in mercy no more. Apparently, you're not a temple worshiper then. In the temple is blood. In the temple is the mercy seat. In the temple is the visible presence of God. You never find God showing up visibly by pillar of fire in one synagogue. Praise the Lord. What am I talking about? An overcomer in the galleries. Now, you know, you realize that the overcoming is up to you and I. God's not going to make us overcome. He wants us to. He wants all of us to overcome. But yet, it will be according to whether you desire to or not. Now, you can live and be a synagogue Christian, sing, worship, talk about the Lord, study, not the Torah today, but study the message, read the Bible, talk about things. My, it's so good to be a believer. My, this is really, really nice. But is there any blood in your soul? Is there any pillar of fire that has been imparted to you as an individual? Oh, I don't really need that. There ain't nobody got the Holy Ghost anymore. Speak for yourself. Well, we're all waiting for Brother Branham to come back, and when Brother Branham comes back, we're going to have revival. I'm having mine now. I'm in the bride's revival, and it's going on right now. Anybody with me? Notice again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple? Notice, not synagogue. Your body is not to be a synagogue.
where you talk about God and you think about God and then you look and act like and dress like the world. You are a synagogue Christian. God wants temple Christians.
Hallelujah. Why? There is where he worships. In the synagogue, they worship him. But in the temple, he worships. Well, listen to what the prophet said, that there, in God's provided place, where God and his family are worshiped together. This is the true Temple Mount. You see, the Dome of the Rock is only set on the natural land where Solomon's temple used to be, where Abraham on Mount Moriah offered his son, where David comes up at the threshing floor of Arunah and purchases the floor. There where David has the understanding that God wants his house built. And we know, of course, since Solomon the Great, that they have constructed this great monument of Islam. We know the Jews desire to have it back, but that ain't the true Temple Mount. The true Temple Mount's the bride. Will the Jews redo it? No doubt they will. They think Trump is their man. Oh yeah, as a matter of fact, I read a thing the other day in several different articles where their constructor advising him to be Osiris the king and give them back their mount so they can build their house of God. Well, I thank God that that desire is there in them as far as the end time, but the house of God's already being built by the Holy Ghost. They're Jews, of course. They do not see it. Oh my, I've stood there in that great place. Wherever we went in, they made us take our shoes off. Me and Carol standing there with a bunch of other believers years ago, and we stand there holding hands as we always do. It's just the way we do. So here come this guy and they're hitting our hands, pulling our hands apart because we did not honor this great place. Well, it wasn't no great honor to me. It's all built on a lie in the first place. Muhammad never ascended up into heaven from that mountain. It's another bunch of fabrication and tradition and lies. Exactly right. That don't belong to the Palestinians. It belongs to the Jews. And may I go farther and say, as the devil is trying to take their land, so the devil around our message is trying to take our land. He's trying to take our baptism of the Holy Ghost, trying to take our walk with God, trying to take our God-given, God-called fivefold ministry, but we will not give it up. It is our land. It is our inheritance, and we will not let the devil have it. Let's drag out the cords. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple? Nails, a shrine used of the temple at Jerusalem, but only of the sacred edifice or sanctuary itself, consisting of the holy place. And the Holy of Holies. So Paul would dare. Can you imagine the Jews in this day? When they read this, they went ballistic. Imagine, Brother John, what they thought when they read this. You mean he's saying them Gentiles are the holy place? Yes, sir. Them bunch of liars and drunks and prostitutes? And that preacher is saying that they're now the holy place? Like it or lump it, it's the truth. You know, Paul had to write the book of Hebrews to convince the Hebrews not to be Hebrews. That's what the whole book of Hebrews is about. It's written to the Hebrews. When he comes, we'll look at it Wednesday night. When he comes to Jerusalem, and they tell him, myriads, and a myriad is 10,000, myriads have believed the gospel. But they are zealous for the law. So they accepted the message, but they didn't know what the message is all about. So tens of thousands of Jews had now accepted Jesus as their Savior, and they're still going to the temple to offer sacrifice. So the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews to convert them from being Hebrews.
to becoming Christians. Oh, come on now, children. That's why God has to give us men of God in this day that don't add to what the prophet said. They don't take away from what the prophet said. Oh, Brother Donnie, a real man of God will push play. I agree 110%. He will push play, and he will feed on what he hears after he pushes play, and then he will get up and say what play says. The prophet of God never said, play what I play or play what I say, but he said, say what I say. Say what's on them tapes. Any real man of God pushes play. Pushing play is very fitting for a lot of these folks because it might actually reflects their life, because that's what they're doing. They're playing. This ain't play for me. This is real, Brother Greg. Notice now, Paul says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. I can dress the way I want to. Not if you're a daughter of God, you can't. Bless God, I can wear dresses up above my knee, and not if you're a Christian. Well, what difference does it make? If I wear dresses, pull them up here, and I wear them big long things underneath it, you're just covering up a Jezebel. Some of you women try to walk as close to the world as you can, as close to the message as you can. Why don't you get on one side or the other? Why don't you get on the side of God and get rid of that stuff that's like the world, and let the Holy Ghost cleanse your temple where you can be identified as a daughter of God? Same with you men. Same with you young men. Let's not act like the world and look like the world. Let's be temples of Jehovah. Let Jesus come in our midst and feel welcome, and not look around and say, what's all these skirts? What's all this? What's all this going on? I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too old to preach. Maybe. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor in a great house. If a man therefore purge himself from these. Now, prior to this, Paul has called the names of some preachers that's went off the word. Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander and all them. Now, Paul is still in this in mind as he writes what the real saints of God should do. If any man therefore purge himself from these what? These false teachers. You can only shake hands and hug on a false teacher for so long. Till you become a brother in the false teacher, and you have to go your separate ways. Well, glory. I want to love everybody. So you're saying Jesus didn't love them money changers? Let's interview one of them, shall we? Have to kind of part him. He's kind of shy a little bit. He's been preacher burnt. We won't hurt you. Come on. I understand that you was in the temple there the other day. He breaks down immediately. Tell me what it was like. I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life. This man, well, I've seen that man heal the sick and raise the dead and everything. And we come in church out the other day. He's like a wild man. Why, I seen fire dancing out of his eyes. No, I think you're mistaken there. I think it was his soul. And I mean, this look come over his face, and I seen him. Boy, he started acting real quiet a lot, you know, real funny. And I seen him get over in the corner. I thought, what in the world is he doing? And I noticed he picks up some little leather cords and things that was there. Lord have mercy. All of a sudden, forgive me, I just get so tore up about it. It's all right, brother. Just calm down. It's okay. We're CNN and ABC and CBS and all that. We want to know the truth about this man.
Trump ain't the first one to deal with fake news. It's okay, brother. I just have them flashbacks. I can see that look in his eyes. You see that? Look at this. Look at right here. Jesus hit me in the face. My eyes swollen. Look at these marks. My poor table was busted all to pieces. It cost me $35 to get that table fixed back. Plus the law sent me $5 and them bunch of renegades out there picking up all my money off the floor. And my uncle's son, oh, you ain't heard the half of it yet. He lost I don't know how many oxen. I heard somebody's having a big old calf dinner after that night, after that preacher got done. Sheep is running everywhere, doves are running everywhere, and him claimed to be a preacher. Thank you, brother. We'll put this on the front page. Wait a minute. I see one of my buddies. Look at him. Sir, can we interview you? Was you in that meeting at Happy Valley the other day? I sure was, but by God's help, I'll never go back again. Of course, you know he added a little bit of drama because the camera's going. Signed up for disability this week. I wonder what the media would done to Jesus. I wonder what you'd have done to him. If some of you'd have been standing there that day following the message of the hour and you'd have seen the Lord Jesus, would it embarrass you? Let's just be honest. As human beings, we don't know for sure what we'd do. Because you wouldn't have the Holy Ghost, remember? I see some of you all the time, you get embarrassed by things God has me to preach or other preachers has you to preach because you chose to invite your buddy to come to church on Sunday morning. You're thinking, Lord, have mercy, what in the world are they going to think about me at work tomorrow? What are they going to say? He might need a good flogging himself. Come on. So what matters more to us, our pride or being a temple that God can dwell in? What's this? 2 Corinthians 6:16. For what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Well, I can dress where I want. What I need, ain't no preacher going to tell me to do what to do. I don't care what you are, Brother Don. You say whatever you want. Right. I agree with you. And my voice will condemn you at the day of judgment. You remember, most of these women out here don't know it's wrong to dress wrong. Most of them don't hear it because the churches they go to. But some of you women and some of you men here will have no excuse. None whatsoever. I'll do what I want to do. Go right ahead. You'll do it now, but you'll answer in the world that is to come. But you'll not come in hell looking for me. You'll not come in hell as they will down there. Part of the torment of those preachers will be people looking for them in hell. Going down, looking, trying to pull up the pastor that told him it's all right for them to live and dress and look this way. You won't find me there. You won't find me there to point your finger in my face and say, you should have told me the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth if you throw me out. I'm going to tell you the truth if you get rid of me tomorrow. I'm obligated to God. Look what an honor, saints. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. Not by his omnipresence now, for that is everywhere in that sense. Not by his omnipotence, because that is everywhere as well. But by his personal presence, his parousia. This is not an omnipotent power that lives in us. It's not this great big gathering together of a whole big bunch of people. You are an individual in God. I will dwell in them. And he says, walk in them. God is said to walk in the tent or the tabernacle of the Old Testament. You imagine God wanting to get down so close among them
that he could hear them talking about milking their goats and raising their kids. God wanted to hear the problems that they had. So he set the tent right up near them and had the tribes to sit around him so he could hear what they're talking about. Wanted to be so close that he could hear the problems and their difficulties. He wanted to dwell among them and he wanted to walk among them. But that wasn't good enough. Because if the farther out you lived from the tabernacle, the farther you got from his presence. So he wanted to make a way that he could get inside of every individual heart that would allow him. So nobody would be any closer than the other, depending on how close you wanted to be to God. Every individual that sits here today that is filled with the Holy Ghost, you have that place, that position given to you by God, that God can dwell in you and walk in you and talk in you and think in you and live his word out of you, just like the greatest preacher in the message. We are blessed. We are blessed. Why don't he do it then, Brother Donnie? Because we won't overcome this. We do things that grieve him and displeases him. We're so concerned about our feelings, and so-and-so did this to me, and so-and-so this, so-and-so hurt me and hurt. There ain't a one of you that's been hurt like Jesus was hurt. Nobody's hurt you the way you've hurt him. And yet he loves you with all of his being the same. The problem is we need to be more like him and less like us. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. My special people. My chosen people. Now verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Notice now he doesn't say this to every Christian, every synagogue, only temple folks. Can't you see why you won't go in the tribulation? The temple has blood on it. Synagogue Christians of Laodicea think they're under the blood, but in reality, they're not. If they were, they could never go through tribulation. So what are they? Synagogue Christians. So they worship, they talk about the Lord, they talk about the Word, they write books, they make tape CDs, whatever more. You know, their theology and their doctrine and all that. And they go to church and they love God. Do they love God? Sure, they love God from their spirit. But look, is there really any blood that speaks for their innocence? If there is, it won't be one of them in the tribulation. Can I go on? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And Happy Valley said, amen. Paul was a weird sort of a guy. Paul believed in plurality. He didn't say apostle and prophet. But apostles and prophets. Hang with me just a minute. If Brother Branham taught anything contrary to this scripture right here, I'd have to leave the message. Brother Branham come to restore our faith back to the original teaching of the apostles. He did not come for us to throw away our Bible and get away our Bible. He came to give us a greater understanding of our Bible. Oh, some of the folks that have left the message said they just start reading their Bible. That's part of their downfall. They should have read it when it's in the message. I never give up my Bible. I've been reading it since I was 12 years old. But after I come to this message, I understand it better. I have a greater perception of what it's all about. I love my Bible now more than I've ever loved it. And everywhere I look, I see the message, the message, the message, the message right in the scripture. Are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together. And the word here means joined together. Materials that are accurately and carefully united by mortise and tenons. You builders know what that is, don't you? Most of you don't.
mortis and tenon. So Paul uses a word to describe the body of God. Mortis and tenon. Now years ago, men had primitive crude tools by which they would make the mortise and the tenon. Now there's several ways you can join lumber and stuff today. They've got joiners, they've got many different kinds of things. I like a biscuit joiner. I've got several other things that I use, but depending on the application. Now, a biscuit joiner is a little apparatus about this long, depending on the side of it. I got a porter cable. It's about that long, about that wide. It's got a little bit in the middle of it. You set it right on top of, say, this piece of wood right here. And if you're going to join two pieces of wood together, you put a mark there. You set it right on top of it, like that. It cuts an invisible slot right here in this piece of wood. Also cut one on this other piece of wood on the other side. Then I take what is called a biscuit, which is an oval-shaped piece of wood made out of compressed wood. I then put that in glue. The glue will now cause that biscuit to swell. You wouldn't want them with gravy, for sure. It will now cause that biscuit to swell in the slot, and it will make it almost impossible. Most of the time, if you get it real sealed right, the board will break somewhere else instead of breaking where you joined together. They didn't use biscuits whenever Paul was writing this, but they did use a method of mortise and tenon. So it is one part that is cut to fit inside of another part, but you can't just take and slap them together. They've got to be cut and molded, and they've got to be very, very accurate, or they will not work. And if you cut the mortise and you cut the tenon a 1/16 or an 1/8 of an inch off, then you're going to have a bump or a rise. It will not join together. So you need men that are called of God and gifted by God to know how to cut. Jesus, here we go again. Oh my, they've got to know how to cut. They've got to know how deep to cut you and know how to back off when you've been cut enough. Watching how he likes now the temple of God, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows. What a peculiar word. So we are building a growing building. Now, Brother Phil and these other brothers, they use timber and cinder blocks and whatever more. They're not alive. Now, you leave an element of moisture, of course, and you kill dry lumber. You don't want to take it totally out. You leave an element of moisture with a moisture desensitizer or a meter where you can be able to measure it and put it together. If you don't, it's going to crack and bow and warp and carry on, depending on the density of the lumber. But you want to have a little bit of the moisture that is there. God don't want a little bit of moisture. God wants a building with growing, moving parts. So for those of you who think church is this, you don't fit in the house. For those of you, when Brother Lewis says, let's everybody praise God. Time you get your hand up, everybody else has done had those down 5 minutes. We're supposed to be lively stones. Well, Brother Donnie, I'm just not emotional. I don't believe that more than I believe the moon is made out of cheese. If you're a human being today, you have emotions. Some of us are more emotional than others. Some of you have been hiding behind that old Methodist and Baptist thing for 30 years since I've been here. Well, I'm not very emotional. Right. I write you a check for $10,000 after church and tell me you're not emotional. Tell me your rich uncle gets out of the poorhouse and leaves you everything he's got, and you're going to tell me you're not emotional. You're emotional, all right. In whom all the building, you imagine, fitly joined together. Now, whether it's mortise and tenon, whether it's biscuit joining, whether it's planing, whatever more, it's all joined together by the Spirit of God. Framed together, grow us unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom the whole building fitly together, grow us unto a holy temple. Let me move to this. Take on the whole armor of God. Lutheran, the Reformation, justification. The enemy began to come in like a flood, and he raised up a standard. Sanctification. A little more powerful in the spirit. Now watch. God sent justification. The enemy come in like a flood and attacked the message of justification. And what did God do? God didn't reform that old message, but God raised up sanctification. Now, what did the devil do? When God raised up sanctification, the devil come in like a flood against the message of sanctification. God didn't go back and reform sanctification, but God restored the gifts. What did the devil come in? He come in like a flood and got in amongst the gifts. Well, glory to God, here we go. What did God do? He didn't go back and reform the Pentecostals, but God sent Malachi 4. Now the devil is being allowed to come in around the message like a flood. Well, glory. God ain't going to reform the message. He's going to rapture. He's not going to send a reformer to reform the message, but the next move for you is up. When the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up. Don't you see all this stuff has to attack us? The devil has to come in. Friend, we are dealing with it now in the message on so many fronts. I know you don't even know much of what's going on, but take my word for it as your pastor. We are dealing with so many things on so many fronts. It's unbelievable. And the enemy's coming in like a flood. Flood time means rive time. Flood time means rapture time. Oh, God will send Brother Branham back. We don't need Brother Branham to come back. We need the resurrection. Notice this. He said, then when the enemy began to cover that over, they begin to organize and join this and the other. The Spirit of God moved into the Pentecostals. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. They organized and went off. Now what's he doing? There's no other age to come. But he's taken that Pentecostal church and taken the elect out of that and honing it so that when the headstone comes upon it, it'll have to go be like the rest of it. The enemy has to attack our message in order to push you out. So you take a tiny grape in your hand with seeds. You don't like to eat seeds. So you put it in your little squeeze cedar right there. And you squeeze it. What happens? Boom. The seeds go to shooting out. This is what the squeeze is going to do to you. Now, it won't do any good if you just take a straight line and squeeze against it. It's got to be surrounded by politics, by demons, troubles without, troubles within. The squeeze has got to totally envelop us in order to develop us. Oh, glory! When God allows the squeeze, it's only going to squeeze the seed out. Then they can have this whole world. They can have Laodicea. Amen. We will be raptured. Let me have a few more minutes, can I? Notice again, take on the armor of God. The prophet said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard against it. Now watch. In Eden, he gave him his word for the armor. Just like the word he spoke, the enemy came in like a flood. He took the word and made it flesh to dwell among us. So the enemy attacked the word in the Garden of Eden, and God took the word a realm higher. God made the word flesh in Jesus Christ. He took the word and made it flesh a little stronger. I guarantee you. From there up, speaking up where he's walking on the earth. Glory. Going to call me a holy roller anyhow, so you might as well get used to it now. Y'all done been convinced I'm a holy roller and have been for years. I'd rather be a holy roller than a holy setter. Y'all been sitting around here. What are you trying to do? Hatch out a bunch of hen house eggs? Oh, glory. Oh, help him, Jesus. He is. But it's probably the very thing you're praying that he'll help me get over. It's the very thing he's helping you with.
Oh, first it was the spoken word. Listen to this. I'll tell you what, I about had a spell yesterday. It was the spoken word out yonder. Now here it is. You could touch it. It's made flesh. And then when the enemy still come in like the flood, he poured the word into the person being in the form of the Holy Ghost. So he set the word in the Garden of Eden. The enemy come in like a flood. He raised it a plane higher and put the word in him, and being Jesus Christ. Then he come against Jesus Christ. Hold on. And God took it higher. God took it higher. Now it wasn't one man. It was men, women, boys, girls, all over the world with the same baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, children. It's higher today than it was when he was here. There's your 1, 2, 3 again. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, our Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and so forth in perfection. Notice the spoken word. God above us. God with us. God in us. The word above us. The word with us. The word in us. Hallelujah. You are God's army marching on. God's spoken word above us in a pillar of fire. God's manifestation in flesh. And now God's spirit spoken word in us. Amen. Let me serve notice to hell today and make no difference what he tries to do to stop it. He's already lost. I believe the church comes to its perfection constantly coming up. And as the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against it. Greater and greater and greater building up. The message is now greater than it was when Brother Branham was here himself. Greater in what sense? More miracles? Less miracles? Less signs? Less wonders? Greater in understanding. When Brother Branham was here, there's pretty much one man understood it. You can tell by the question and answers they kept asking him, is it on tabernacle? They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. All over the world, there's people here today. You mention Son of Man. They know you're not making Brother Branham a God. They know it's Jesus on the earth. You mention the seven thunders. They know they entered some fallen, some man out of New York. But it's the voice of God that's uttered down through the ages. You mention the rapture. You mention on and on and on and on. All over the earth. And understanding, a revival of understanding has broke loose. And it's being concealed in human jars. Human vessels. I believe these old frail bodies of ours will be changed and made like unto his own glorious body. Let me close with this oneness. Brother Daniel, jump down a little bit there past Ephesians 2:22. Let's go to oneness with God, paragraph 110. Now I want you to pay attention. Don't you go to sleep on me now. This one's going to clench your hide, knock your gums together, knock your teeth out. We want to send you back to hell whimpering like a little whoop pup this morning. I'm sure Brother Tim's burning your hide in Louisiana. Brother Ron Spencer's going to burn your hide after a while. Mike Price is burning your hide. You've done been burning France. You've done been burning Germany. You've done been burning all over the world. So hang around for your barbecue at Happy Valley, devil. See, it wasn't that. God don't deal with a person in a group. God don't deal with you in an organization. He deals with you as an individual. An individual. Individually, we are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Collectively, we are baptized into the body. This is it, friend. Not the thing that many of the message preacher want. They're the great big guy. They're the great big guy. They're Elohim and all the nonsense they're trying to say. That is Tommy Rott right out of hell. God wants to baptize every man, woman, boy, and girl whose name is on the Lamb's Book of Life into the Holy Ghost. And make you a prayer warrior. Make you a soldier for God. Collectively, we are baptized into the body when we're baptized with the Holy Ghost individually. Each one baptized with the Holy Ghost, God dealing with each one. That was his purpose. Scatter them across the earth so we could deal individually with them. Here we are in the end time, coming from the east, west, north, and south. What are we doing? Getting ready for the rapture. Holding ourselves steady for a few minutes till every fiber is filled with the Holy Ghost. Then she'll go up. Oh my! Calling his people together to himself in true oneness. His left hand is under my head. And his right hand does embrace me. You see, this is what some of the message preachers want to do to the bride. They want to put their left hand under the bride's head and their right hand under the bride's waist. Some of them want to commit adultery with her. Others want to slip on down into her purse and get her credit card.
Come on.
Real servants of God. They know their call is this. To bring you and your Lord as close as they can. And then they back out of the room. Because they know you belong to Jesus. It ain't me and you and Jesus. It's you and Jesus. You don't want me standing there with him in that intimate time with you and me instructing you and me him telling you it ain't that. He wants me as your pastor by the grace of God to be able to lead you as close as I can get you. And then once I've got you there, I back out. I back out and I leave you there with that time. And it's your eyes looking at Jesus. If I'm going to be standing there, your eyes are going to be occasionally looking at me. So you look from Jesus. Is this okay, Brother Tony? Am I doing okay? Is this all right? He don't want no preacher. He don't want no mama, no daddy, nobody there. But you and him. Glory to God. You'll never find this in a synagogue Christian. They can be blessed. They can be healed. They can have miracles. I get so amazed at message folks. They want miracles. They want signs, gifts. They want somebody to tell them their name. Are you that dumb? Don't you know what your name is? I've known what my name is since I was that high. Well, I don't want them to get caught up as some man that's going to try to spiritually rape me. Try to spiritually take my virtue. But it belongs to Jesus Christ. You don't need to be holding hands with the pastor. You don't need to be holding hands with this man and that man. You need to hold hands with Jesus Christ, the Word. Let me close. End time evangelism, paragraph 190. Brother Branham was talking about stones being confessions. He said, Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood is not revealed to thee, but my Father in heaven. Upon this rock I'll build my church. So a confession was a rock, a stone. Brother Branham said, What good is stones if you haven't got a stonemason to shape them out? Confessions is stones. When Peter made his confession, Thou art Peter, a little stone. But what good is a stone if there isn't a stonemason there to shape him into a son of God? You're just piling up a bunch of rocks. Don't you see what a lot of these moves around the message have been? Preachers piling up a bunch of rocks. We're not interested in a rock pile. We're interested in a tabernacle. Do y'all just want to be a Happy Valley rock pile? Is that all you want? You want to just be a big pile of rocks when we gather here two or three times a week, whenever you come to church, and we just become a big pile of rocks? My daddy used to work at a rock quarry, so I've been around them quite a bit. There in Kentucky, where there's a lot of hard limestone. And they'd go in and cut out gigantic big old holes in this limestone. It's always amazed me. And they'd take those big Ute trucks and go in there and load them things full. And there they'd just cut it out and cut it out. And they'd cut it down to 57s and 4s and, you know, different size of rocks. And they'd be running through what they called a crusher. My daddy was a mechanic, so he'd work on the truck and the concrete mixer and the crusher. And pretty much anything that went wrong, he could fix it. And what they would do, they'd run it to the crusher and pile them in big piles. So there'd be a pile of 4s and a pile of 57s and a pile of dense grit and a pile of this and a pile of that. And that if you needed any on your driveway, you'd call and say, "Hey, Gail, I need about 10 ton of 4s. And he said, "All right, we'll send them down to you." So they go into the pile of church members, rock. And they send them down to your church on your driveway. But you realize it is a law in Jerusalem, in the old city of Jerusalem, to this day. If you build a new building, it's got to be made out of hand-hewn Israeli stone. It's longer. It's slower. It's more painful. But it looks like the original church. I mean... Do we want to just be a bunch of rocks? We run through the crusher and we all come out on the other side and we're just, it's so much quicker. I mean, I've seen them and watch them. And they take these gigantic big old pieces of rock and run them through there and then they'd shake them. They'd give them a shaking and they'd divide the stones according to the holes in the belt as it would come down. It takes a lot longer to set with a chisel. I'm a stonemason. Up here's some of my work. I'm a stonemason. A guy came to my house not long ago and said, "You lay this?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You are one picky man." I said, "My church thinks the same thing." I may not produce many of you. There may not be but 5 of you. Or 6, 10, 20, 300. I don't know. But I know this. What God gives me strength and ability to come out of this quarry. You won't be produced in mass number here. And more than likely, there won't be a pile of us. But I want to be so sensitive to the Spirit of God that He can take me and utilize me and send me 500 directions in one service. In order to, maybe you need a little on the top and you need a little on the side and you need a little over here on the bottom and you need a little bit over here. When I stand there before in that day of decades of service, I may stand there and there may be a dozen stand behind me. Or 5 or 4, I don't know. I don't want to be there. But I know one thing. I will stand before Him and tell Him, "I did my best. I don't have much to show for it." You know yourself. When I come here on Wednesday night, if there's a half a building full, or Saturday night, I preach the same. If I preach to 5, I preach the same. If I preach to 5,000, and I have, I preach the same. Whether you come or not has no effect on the way I want to stand before God. I'm going to give Him my best every time I preach. Every sermon I prepare, I'm gonna prepare for it as if though it was my last. What about you in your life? You give Him a third, you give Him a 10%, you give Him 20% of what you are, and when you want to, you go to church. When you want to, you pray. You'll answer to God for that, not me. But when I stand before Him, I never want Him to look at me and say, "I noticed in your preaching that when you had a big crowd, you really put a lot of effort in it. And then when there wasn't hardly nobody there, you cut back. You didn't expend yourself. You didn't put forth as much effort." He'll never say that to me. My God don't love me just because I'm seed. One of the reasons He loves me is my passion for Him. Why does He love you? "Oh, He loves me because of Jesus." You're a puny Christian.
He wants to love you because you're a man or a woman after his own heart. The scripture does not say God loved David because David was elect, though he did. But he loved David because he was a man after his own heart. Let's stand together. I don't want to be a rock, Brother Terry, just thrown in the pile. That's what the scripture says in the last day, that they'll do with false teachers. Heap to themselves teachers. So what is it? Just another rock in the false teacher pile. You don't want to be a Christian in the Happy Valley Church rock pile. Don't you want to be a stone that's cut? Cut and shaped. Maybe you might have been delivered to me as your pastor. You might have been the half a size of this building. You might have been enormous. It might have took several cranes to unload you. Your vanity was so much and your pride was so great. And God's got this little tiny spot about that big in the building that he wants to put you in. And I have to whoop and beat and sand and thrash and cough on you for 30 years to get you to that spot to where you just... Now, it's tough when a furniture builder is also a stonemason. It's tough. I build furniture, and I love detail. Love detail. But it's bad when you make a furniture man into a stonemason. Because he has that same mentality. What's even worse is when you make him a preacher. Then what's even worse than that is... you make him a pastor. Here comes these big ute loads of Christian. Here I am, Brother Donnie. I'm here to take up the whole congregation. Man, you don't need nobody but me. And then God calls you off to the side and said, he's a 2-inch by 2-inch rock. But don't tell him. Let him believe he's the whole building. It'll take time, but we'll get him. So you saw and you cut and you saw and you cut. I deal with all your humanity, all your flesh, and you deal with mine. And I get sick of you sometimes and you get sick of me. But one of these days you're going to look back and you're going to say, dear God, thank you. Thank you. Many of you come through different ministries in your life, and no doubt if you were led of the Lord, each one of them was stepping stones for you. I may not be the last for some of you. God may send you over here or over there. Wherever God sends you, go. Feel free to go. Wherever God leads you. Because you need to be under the stonemason of the man that God can shape you into what you need to be. But you imagine as they thrashed and they beat and they cut and they sawed. And when they gathered all them stones together to build Solomon's temple, there was not a sound of a hammer or a saw or a chisel. So when the rapture came, they all started coming from Ghana, from Nigeria, from Tanzania, from Kenya, from Louisiana, from Illinois, from... And they were all so perfect. How could them stones be made in Africa and made over here and over there in those mines and be brought together and just... they just... and the rapture comes here, we'll come. 17, 18-year-old white folks. 17, 18-year-old Chinese. 17, 18-year-old Japanese. Black folks. Venezuelans, North and South Island of New Zealand, Australia,
black, white, all these different colors, and they'll all come together in the rapture, and there will be the temple of God in bride form. And now their bodies have all actually been changed in a moment like that. And here we'll come, Lord. I've told you before, but think about the dream Brother Ron Peterson had years and years ago. And he saw the rapture. And he saw us all coming together. And it's like this thousands that was just thronging, coming together. And the more people came around, Jesus just started rising right above us like this. Just a dream. And we started praising him and blessing him and worshiping his name. And the more we worshiped, the higher he got. Oh, glory. And the more we worshiped, the more people kept coming. And he kept coming around, spinning around, moving higher and higher. He was elevated by our praise. Oh, the temple of God. How beautiful it will be. Then he'll be able to lead you to your new home. No, Brian. I, John, saw the new Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And you'll live in the temple. Why? You live in it here. God's allowed you to live right up here near the headstone. I don't know if that's where we get to live in the city or not, but it's kind of exciting thinking about it. But whether I'm on the top or in the basement, I'll be happy. I know I'm going to be so happy. Don't you love him, saints? Praise God. Don't get mad at me. Don't get aggravated at me and upset at me. I'm no more than an instrument, no more than this microphone. For God to take a cord in his hand. You don't know when I have to preach hard. It takes me days to get over it. Carol told me the other night, I pulled out of the parking lot. She said, now don't you go to getting sad. Pastor's wife preaching to the pastor. She said, don't you get down on yourself now. She said, I know how you are. You go to wishing you hadn't said, I said, I don't want to say this. She said, I know you don't. But we need it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, children, please, please believe me. I love you with all of my heart. I don't want to take a cord in my hand and whip the carnality out of your life. What movies or wrong dress or whatever more out of your life. But I want your body not to be a den of thieves. A place where the Holy Ghost can abide.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you so much today. I pray through these simple thoughts, Lord, you would help each of us. You've spoken to me today, Lord, and I thank you for it. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help each of us. Our unregenerate part, this old flesh, it's carnal. It's waiting for its change. And yet, it's a place that you have chosen to live. I thank you, Lord. As I said last night, most of us will never come in this church building here with a cup of coffee in our hand or a drink. Most of these brothers, I mean, they may wear a hat nearly every day of their life and all day when they're awake. Yet, if they would walk in this church door, they would take that hat off. Many of them won't even raise their voice in the sanctuary. But help us, Lord, to realize this is not the house of God. This one here, it's dedicated for worship for sure. But you don't dwell in this church per se. You dwell in us. If we would treat this building that way, what about our bodies? What about our bodies, which are the temples of the living God? Lord Jesus, I tell you right now before these people, I give you my complete surrender and permission
to take the cords at any time and whip out of me whatever you see has built up a table in my life. If it's a table of resentment, a table of pride, whatever it is, Lord, help me. Take the cords, Lord. Use a man of God to do it. Let me find the right appropriate tape and turn it on. And let it, whatever means you desire to use. Please, Lord. So the neutrality of my body can be surrendered to the Jesus in my soul. That this house can be called a house of prayer. Hey, listen, you're awesome in this place. I'm sure the person who wrote this song did not quite mean it the way we're going to sing it today. They meant, no doubt, the auditorium, the church building, whatever more that they were in. But as we sing it, I want you to sing it with this understanding. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Children, can you understand the Shekinah glory of God that once dwelled behind the veil? Is in your soul today. In your soul. The pillar of fire that hung over the mount, a lick of that is in your soul. He is awesome in this place. Is he not? Don't it make you just want to reconsecrate your body? Not just your soul. But just your body. Lord, look at my music. Look at every avenue of my life. See if there's anything in me, Lord, that's a den of thieves or a thing of merchandise, whatever, Lord, that would displease you. Search me, Lord, that I can be a house of prayer, that I can be a house of miracles, that I can be a house of healing, a house of peace. So many things he wants us to be. Oh, let's just sing it together as we meditate now. Upon our hearts and our needs before the Lord. Just bring it to Him now in His presence.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are worthy of. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Everybody, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. Lord Jesus, awesome in this place, Abba Father. Mighty God, you are awesome in this place. Mighty God, you are awesome in this place. Abba Father, amen, Lord. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to with all your heart? Remember, the Old Testament worshipers were warned of the psalm of the temple that Solomon built. They refused to hear the word of God of correction. Antiochus Epiphanes IV, 167 BC, comes riding into Jerusalem, takes a pig, cuts its throat, offers it on the altar of God to this god Zeus. The temple is rebuilt by Herod. The Lord Jesus stands in the temple, what I read to you today. He cleanses it. They refuse to hear him. The city is besieged. Titus rolls in some years later. He takes a pig, offers it upon the altar. The menorah, many of the great pieces. I've stood at the Arch of Titus in Rome. And as you see it there,
hewn in stone, great gigantic pieces of stone, the memorial of the defeat of the temple at Jerusalem. You see, the Roman soldiers, as they carried the menorah, as they carried the different instruments of worship in the house of God, because they refused to listen to the truth. Lord God, children, don't let your picture be on a memorial of the devil. Don't let your image show up on some kind of trophy wall of the devil. Don't let my image wind up being there. But let me make the gallery of the saints of God. Let me be in the gallery of the overcomers. I don't care if I'm the very last one and that gallery is 5 million miles long and my picture is the last one on the left or the right. I don't care about that. Let me be there. Don't let me be on the Arch of Titus. Don't let me be in Laodicea. Don't let me be somewhere in the annals of time. Let me show up in the records of eternity. Amen. Let's sing it together. Remember, it's up to you. It's up to you. Will you cleanse the money changers? Will you let Jesus drive out all the things that tries to hinder you? And submit yourself to the presence of God. You are awesome. Yes, Lord. You are awesome. Abba Father. Oh, Jesus, to you our lives. Lord, we don't want to be a synagogue. We want to be a temple. We don't want church to be a social gathering. We don't want it to be a place where we eat and do this and that, Lord. We want to be a temple of the living God. A temple of your presence, Lord. This place, Abba Father, you are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise.
As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, to which standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say,
worship him together now.
Awesome in this place.
Oh, my God. My God, we bless your name, Lord.
You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise.
Jesus.
You are awesome, oh, Jesus. In this place.
Amen. My everybody together. God. Left hand under your head. Let his right hand embrace you. Look into his eyes. Not eyes of judgment, eyes of mercy, eyes of love and forgiveness. Oh, hallelujah. Mighty God, you are awesome. Jesus, oh great Adonai, we bless your name, Lord Jesus, we worship. worship you today, Father. Of our praise to you, our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, my God. Let's bow our heads together and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. I know, Lord, these things haven't been great and they've not been tremendous. Shaking things, some people would no doubt call them so very, very simple. But they were God nonetheless. May we not overlook God in His simplicity. Help us, I pray, Father. We can hear your voice speak to us out of the Word. Lord Jesus, may we never take this man off the cross. May we never pull the nails from him. It's an amazing thing, the types and the shadows that's reflected by our bodies. To look at it in this holy, holy place where you dwell. Thank you, Father. We love you with all of our hearts. Go with us now, Lord. Some have driven 2-3 hours today to be in church. May you watch over and protect them on the way back home. Your Father, gather us together again. One was to slip out, Lord. May we gather on that other side. When the house of God will be in the form of a pyramid. The base of it will be 1,500 miles square. Its walls would ascend at an angle by which people in glorified bodies can walk at no strain at all. The heights from the bottom to the top will be another 1,500 miles. As your elect, we will be privileged to live in that blessed temple city. Oh, Jesus, we long for that day, Lord. Until we do, give us victory. All the fronts in which we are facing the battles, may we be like you, Lord. May we conduct ourselves in a manner it's pleasing to you. Go with us now, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. How many can say it's been good? How many can say it's been real good to be in the house of God? That's okay. God bless you. Let's sing together as we go. Come back Wednesday night if you can. Expecting the Lord speak to us once again. Amen. You love Him?
Yes,
love one another?
Amen.
Love your enemies?
Yes,
love those that hate you?
Yes,
God bless you. Sounds like you're a house of God in the making. Amen. Sing for us, Harry. God bless you. Let's sing together as we go. Go in the fear of God.
Father, I see that you were drawing.
Yes, you are, Lord.
A line in the sand.
Amen.
I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand.
Amen,
so let
Lord.
Your kingdom come.
Let come.
Lord, let it live in me.
In me,
this is my prayer.
Amen.
This is my plea.
Let's sing it
let
out.
The worshipers. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
On the Temple Mount,
I'm surrendering my all.
Hallelujah.
I surrender to the King.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's sing it again.
Oh, let the worshipers rise. Let His sons. His daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. praises ring. This is a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons, his daughters sing. Sing, I'm surrendering.